Since there are so many questions and we have maybe about 15-20 minutes to respond to that, I would now ask Dr. Sola to start with some of the questions he could take from the list and maybe address the devotees.
Sai Ram. So the first question is, Brother Srikant, can you please ask Swami to be in her voice what the winning number for the mega lottery is going to be? No, I'm just kidding. Just Swami recently said in a speech that you don't have to meditate for hours and hours, but just 11 seconds. But I can't control the mind. Can you please advise on how to improve concentration? So in this afternoon's meditation workshop, we'll discuss this in more detail. But Swami says that you don't need to meditate for hours, just 11 seconds is sufficient. And he gives an example. He says that when we empty the mind, we allow for the mind, our consciousness, to naturally merge into God. And he says, it's very simple. You just focus on something, and he says, if you want, you focus on your thumb. Why your thumb? Just because we all carry it with us, right? And so he says, simply just look at your thumb, or any object. Focus on that with the exclusion of all thought, absence of all thoughts, emptiness of thoughts. When the mind is completely empty and that mind is blank for that 11 seconds, then you have meditation. So let's try this, okay? So everybody grab your thumb. You can use your right or left thumb, it doesn't matter. And simply don't start yet, please. You can keep thinking for now. When I say start, then you stop thinking. And then at 11 seconds, I'll tell you when to start thinking again, okay? Very simple exercise. Simply just watch. That's all. Just watch and forget about everything else. Then at 11 seconds, I'll say Sai Ram, and then we'll start. This is simple meditation. Let's begin. One. Everyone got your thumb ready? Two. Three. Start. Sai Ram. So for some of you, you had actually a few seconds of blankness, right? How did that feel? It was good. Yeah, it's very good. It's emptiness. It's peaceful, isn't it? Yes, that's the secret to meditation. Emptiness. Mind is empty. You're totally absorbed in God consciousness at that moment. So for those of you who had that experience, for those few seconds, the mind was blank and God could come through. Most of us, God doesn't come through because there's so much noise inside. There's too much noise. And so this is a simple technique. So we'll practice again later on this afternoon. I'll turn the next question over to Brother Raj.
Sai Ram. Out of the four, I think the volume is too high. Can we reduce it? There are. I'm not sure if you can hear me well with this echo.
You can?
Okay. All right. Two questions are closely related. I think I'll hold like this. First question is there any sattvic food or diet which can help to relieve tension, anxiety, and can help to improve focus on meditation? Good question. And we have touched upon these things in the presentation, in my presentation, but worth asking again so we can spend some more time on this. The second question, which is closely related to this question, is how to attain freedom from fear. The title of the question is Fear and Its Linkage to Food. How to attain freedom from fear. And the second part of the question is faith and its linkage to food. How to attain implicit faith and surrender with the help of food. Beautiful and powerful questions. Maybe we can show the slides, can we, if possible? My slides, if possible. But I'll start talking anyway. So tension, anxiety, fear, and the obstacles on the path of practicing faith and surrender. So really, if you see, all of these are like the obstacles we talked about, especially the mental obstacles, are the problems of mind, correct? I don't think we will say tension. Tension is a very general word. Anything that causes conflict is a tension. Anything that disturbs the equanimity, the balance of the mind, even to any extent, is tension of mind. So really there are many factors. Yeah, this is good. This is good. For the most part, what we call as tension is aggravated because of heat in the body. That is the most common factor. It is the heat in the brain, actually, in the head area. That's the most common factor. Where does that heat come from? It comes because of foods. There are certain foods that pump extra heat into the body, and it travels into the head, because that's probably the most likely or the weakest place for the heat to go, not necessarily the only one. So it travels into the head and it aggravates. So how we respond to things, how we handle things, they seem to be, you know, like with some kind of frustration or irritation, which may not be necessary. Somebody else will view this, said that we can do things in more rational and calm manner. So there are aggravating factors. So basically what we need to do is that when we are talking about removing the fear and tension and anxiety, there are several parts to this. Obviously the one thing is the thinking part, which is, you know, try to handle things in better manner, but we may not be fully successful. And that, for the most part, it is because of the heat in the head and also the toxicity in the head. Those are the reasons. For instance, anger. I think it's a very, very common experience that something happens and we become angry. Later we think, oh, I didn't have to do that. Maybe I should have thought about it a little and I could have handled it in a more calm manner, but it's too late. So you ask the question, what is the real reason? Why is it that we do that way? The most important reason, let it be understood, is the heat in the head. Heat in the head. So, food and lifestyle should be such that we minimize the heat in the head. And about the fear, that is something slightly different. That's not much at all because of heat. That is generated in colon, actually. The of course, there is a reasonable fear. That's what we are not talking about. That we are talking about the unrealistic fears or the amplified fears. They are because of excess vata, which is generated in the colon. So again, toxicity in the colon is the root cause for the aggravated fear. Okay, so the food can be such that it keeps the system clean and removes the heat. So now, if we ask, is there one simple answer to it, one simple food? If you asking that question, well, yeah, the greatest food is ragi, which is what Swami eats, and I'll be spending a good deal of time this afternoon on talking about it. Why ragi, and why is it so great? Ragi is divine food. There is absolutely no food in the whole creation which matches it in all its attributes, in all its qualities. So if you are asking for one food, there is one which can be incorporated. A simpler food is soaked and peeled almonds. It reduces heat and adds good vibrations in the mind. So it helps with these things, tension, anxiety fears. So asking about faith and surrender, how can you help, how can we practice with the help of food? About the same thing, really. The what are the obstacles are the tendencies in the mind, the desires and ahamkar, and they are also controlled by the excess vata and pitta, the heat, and, you know, she talked about toxicity in the colon. So food, proper practice of food can help also practice Satan surrenders? Very, very good question, but probably we need to reflect on this and understand better.
I have a few questions. The first one, can spirituality offset the effect of karmic burden on one's health? How to accomplish this? Yes, spirituality can offset the effect of karmic burden, but to achieve that, you have to have faith. Once we believe that God is going to take care of us, we have to get rid of the doubt. You know, St. Francis says, where there is doubt, let me show faith. When faith is there, anything can happen. That's the first part. How to accomplish this? Believe. Believe that God is our mother, He will take care of us and offer our problems and let God in, He will take care of it. So it is possible, but faith and belief are the two requirements for that. Healing by spiritual methods, is there any plan by Swami or His devotees to start some clinic? Yeah, the clinic already exists. It is inside us. We have the ability, we have the tools, we have the knowledge, we have the drive to do it ourselves. We don't need to go to another clinic to do that. It's not an external solution, it's an internal solution. So we have to believe and follow the rules. That's the clinic. This is a tough one. Please define spirituality. There is a lot of confusion in terms of definition of spirituality. Well, if we live by definitions, we'll always be confused. We have to live by experience. And the way to understand, the way I understand spirituality is to be able to live in constant awareness of a higher being that is guiding our life, and then surrendering our ego to that force and let it guide us and follow the guidance. That is spirituality. If destiny plays such an important role in one's life, that is, in one's health, what is the role of health care? Well, you are talking to two medical doctors here. You are trying to put them out of business.
I am a doctor, but I am also a patient.
Okay. Well, healthcare is of two kinds. One is mostly we go for curative healthcare. What we have to go for is preventative healthcare. And the way to do that, and we talked about the heart being the bridge between the physical consciousness and spiritual consciousness. If that heart is pure, purifying the heart of all our negativities and experience that benefit, then our whatever the destiny, God will take care. And in fact, the next question relates to that. The question actually is not a question, it's a statement. I have great reluctance in praying to Swami for personal health. Why is that? Is it ego? Or is it some belief that there is going to be some miracle that will take care of it? You know, when we invite guests in our house, how many of us have done this? We go on a massive house cleaning spree, clean everything, vacuum the whole house, you know, put all the junk away and get the house ready as if you are going to show it for somebody to come and buy. We do that all the time. We do it because the guests are coming. Well, God is already here. He is in here. This is our temple of God. Why not keep it clean all the time? So, there is no reason not to ask God for help. The reluctance must come from some hesitation, maybe perhaps not having enough faith that God will listen to us. Because we may have tried that, but we might have tried it in the context of some worldly achievements or pleasures. Well, that's not what God came here for. Baba says, but I have not come to give you trinkets and trash. I have come to give you something that I want to give you, and you have to empty your hands to receive it. So there is no reason to feel reluctant. After all, she is our mother and father. We don't hesitate to ask our parents for help. Why not ask God also? Okay, I think this is the last one. So Swami said, go through your karma and do not ask me to resolve it. We always pray to Swami for solving our problems. Is it okay to ask him to solve our problems? Is praying to go through our karma with an ease? Well, Swami says that you can ask him for help. He is not going to take away your karma. Because karma is an effect of our past actions. We have to pay the price. But we can certainly ask him, and he certainly will respond if we pray to him to ease the burden and pain of going through that karmic experience. And certainly he says, yes, come to me. Ask me. That's what he is here for. And of course it is okay to ask him. He is our mother. Won't we go to our mother when they are sick and ask for help? Why not him?
Sai Ram, let me just touch on the topic of food one more time, because this is such a big topic, and I'm sure you and many of us get these questions all the time. You know, people come, Doc, what kind of food should I eat? It's a big question, right? A big interest. Everyone wants to know what to eat. And what I find is that food is such a personal issue. Everyone has foods that they like, that they don't like. If you have kids, you know, Abba, trying to get them fed is such a chore sometimes. So it's a very personal issue. And to say that you can or cannot eat certain foods universally is very difficult. For example, Swami has said that we should not eat meat, but we know that there are specific devotees where he has told them, actually, you do need to eat meat for your particular body constitution. But there are, in general, four things that Swami says a Sai devotee will never do. The very first thing he says is a Sai devotee will not eat meat. And we've gone over this on multiple occasions at multiple retreats. I don't need to elaborate on it. What I see is that there's still a number of devotees who, when they come to the Sai Center, they're quite good. And then they go back and they're okay. And then maybe for some special function, they go to their family or relative's house and they go back to eating meat. Or, you know, they say, oh no, we only eat turkey or chicken or something. You know, we can call them the chicken Sai devotees. But Swami has very clearly said, the first thing that a Sai devotee will not do is they will not eat meat. Second thing is they will not drink alcohol. Third thing is they will not smoke. And then the fourth thing is they will not gamble. Swami says that when we gamble, even if we play the lottery, he says that not only do we take on the karma of the winning, we also take on some of the negative karma of all the people who participate in that gambling and have lost. If you look at people who win the lottery, nothing good comes to them. A bank will not give a loan or a mortgage to a lottery winner because they know that the odds that those people would bankrupt within 3 or 4 years is very high. This is negative karma. Do not gamble. You will be getting much more than earnings. You'll be getting a lot of negative karma. So those four things, not eat meat, smoke, alcohol, or gamble. Now, Swami has given a couple of specific things about certain types of foods that I do want to mention. He says that fenugreek or methi is good for people with diabetes. He said recently that we should avoid too much cheese. And I've actually been talking about this in my inner voice workshop for a number of years because cheese, too much cheese, imparts a certain heaviness to the body that clogs the inner senses. It actually makes it difficult to perceive the inner voice within. Not that a little bit of cheese is bad, but excess of cheese can be very harmful, as can an excess of dairy products in general. And then finally, a small experience that I'll share. I've been very fortunate in that, remember yesterday when I told you how at first the devotee is like the bumblebee and God is like the flower. And then the roles are reversed. The devotee becomes the flower and God becomes the bee. So in my lifetime I've had many, many opportunities where Swami actually has physically appeared before me and given me his darshan. And I'll just share one small example of that. This was when I was in medical school, and I was living at that time with my younger brother who was in college. And so we had a deal where I would do the cooking and he would do the cleaning. It worked very well for us. And so one time I was cooking dinner for us, and I had three pots on the stove. I was standing next to the stove cutting some vegetables, and three pots were all going. It was full dinner. And Swami suddenly appears before me in his physical form. He's standing right next to me, just like Brother Raj is next to me. And just like a little kid, he looks inside each and every one of the pots on the stove. And then he turns to me and he says, "What are you doing?" Like a little kid, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Swami, I'm cooking." And Swami says, "Oh, cook with love." And I says, "But I do, Swami." And Swami says, "No, sometimes you forget." And then just like that, he left. So we cook with love, we speak with love, we live all our lives with love, and we find that all of these health problems, these ailments will eventually leave us as we advance to higher and higher levels. So with that, I'm going to stop and I'll turn the microphone back over to Brother Rambala. Sai Ram.
I want to really thank the panelists. They have shared their views, ideas, comments about these three aspects of body, mind and spirit, how we need to take care, how we need to carry ourselves in order to enhance our own healthy spiritual life. Now I'm going to show a series of slides. Deepak has mentioned about the faith. We should have the drive to do things the right way. I'm going to show you several pictures from different parts of the world. This is from China. This was a bridge. The bridge is mostly gone. See how they are very careful. See, even they are carrying a baby. I'm not saying each one should attempt, should have this drive. But watch the following. See, this is a common scene in many. Two or three, he has got the drive to go. There's no helmet. So the baby is sitting there, the next. Sometimes they go, not one, four, five, they have the drive. Next, sometimes you want to carry things. Oh, you have a bicycle, okay, they can do it. They have the drive to do that, they have the drive to carry anything they want. Next, okay, you got carrying a lot of animals in that basket. Next. This is the middle of the city. This is in Taiwan, I believe. And he's not a very healthy, strong person, and still he has a drive to take this bigger load. The next, see, you cannot see the driver. The next, have you seen this? How many, you know, bottles you can carry? Yes, go on. See, this is in Africa. Want to carry birds? Tons of them. Next. What about the eggs? Oh yeah, I can carry thousands of them. The next. These are like the big tires. The next. They're all common scenes. Okay, look at this guy is carrying a mirror in a busy street. He has the drive to do that. The next. Okay, this we have seen several places. This is, I believe, in Taiwan. And finally, you know, you've seen people carrying bicycle and a car. But this one I like, he's carrying a car. Ladies and gentlemen, why are we seeing all these pictures? The next, the laughter is the best medicine. You all laugh, right? But that is not the... That's not the reason I'm showing all this. Laughter is the best medicine. That's the truth. We enjoy these pictures. But let's listen to Swami now. Next. This is to show that within all of us, there is an infinite source of creative, conscious, and intelligent energy that lies untapped. Bhagavan's mission is to make us aware of our own divinity. Only with this constant integrated awareness, we can make spirituality a practical part of our daily reality. the next. If you recognize, like the panelists mentioned, that our body is a sacred home of God, and if you can meditate on this truth, our inner bud will open through our faith and reverence, and then the next, we can live in the constant presence of God. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Dr. Bala, Dr. Bhatt, Dr. Prakash, and Dr. Srikant Sola. Thank you very much. Let's give another warm round of applause for excellent panel discussion. Lead devotional singers who signed up for bhajans prior to retreat, please check in with Ravi Ausrala today before 5 p.m. And this is regarding the preparation for Monday 10 a.m. bhajans. Lead singers who signed up for bhajans before the retreat, please check in with Ravi Ausrala today before 5 p.m. And also the CDs of the talks from our guest speakers, including the second session from Mr. Gitar, are already available in the bookstore, so you can purchase from there. So we are assembling back at 2 o'clock.
1:30 for the group photo.
That's right.
Over at Cabin 21, where we have our picture taken each year. And then 2 o'clock back here for the young adults.
Thank you.
Ram, enjoy lunch.
And also work on the goal of meeting 10 new Sai brothers and sisters that you haven't met before the retreat. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.